Thank you for attending our podcast. My name is Martha Wells Hammond. We are here at the Patents Tech Expo at the Fountains Hotel in Carmel, Indiana. Our featured guest today is Deb Lorenz, and she will be speaking with Bev Lau, who is our technical assistant and ordering specialist at the ICAM. Deb currently is a DRM and the assistive technology specialist for Hamilton Southeastern Schools. As a DRM, you have been one of the top providers of the digital textbooks through the ICAM web ordering system since the system was implemented 2 years ago, having placed orders for more than 130 digital textbooks. And like our other DRMs, you have done this while performing your other functions in the Indiana education system as well. So we thank you for that.
It's been my pleasure.
So could you please tell our listeners about your other roles?
Well, I worked for the Hamilton Boone Madison Special Services Cooperative before I went to Hamilton Southeastern Schools. And I have been the assistive technology specialist for going on 26 years now, you know, in those two different roles. But for Hamilton Southeastern Schools, I'm the assistive technology specialist. So I do all of the AT evaluations. I do a lot of the support for software, for hardware, for every disability, including orthopedic disabilities, hearing, vision disabilities. I work with our specialists there. And then with all of our life skills, FIATS classrooms, our functional academic program, and our resource rooms. So we've got several different initiatives for those different classrooms that we're, of course, working on. And then adding the digital rights manager was quite, at first it was quite taxing.
Well, you've taken it on, and you've done a great job, and we really appreciate the work that you've done. And it's a remarkable career, really, that you're in. And so
it is. I've loved every minute of it.
So I'm going to ask Bev to step in because she has a few questions. And I know that you and Bev spend a lot of time together on the telephone, and that's why I asked her if she would like to speak with you today.
And we're really thrilled that you're here with us today, Deb.
Thank you.
I appreciate your taking time out from the Tech Expo, from your own interest in the Expo, to do this for us and for the rest of our digital right managers. And I'm just wondering, you know, it's not only does the field that you're in require technical skills, but it requires a lot of heart, a lot of compassion, a lot of dedication. What initially drew you to this field?
Well, I was a special educator in my training, and my first classroom had 13 students in it, grades 1 through 5. And out of those 13 students, 12 of them needed some sort of communication device. So as a first-year teacher, I was thrown, boom, right smack in the middle of quickly learning about any kind of adaptive device possible. And because, you know, I love technology, which is good because I deal with it all the time. It was just a fun challenge, and I loved every minute of it. The kids were great, and just finding the right things that fit those kids with their needs at that time, because that was 28 years ago,
wow.
You know? So there wasn't as much technology as there is now. So that's really how I got started in it.
That's amazing. You took an event that would have ended some people's career and made it the beginning of a very special career.
Yes, well, when it came time for Thanksgiving break and I told them that I was going up to see some friends, they started crying. And I said, "What's wrong?" And they said, "You'll never come back. You're the eighth or ninth teacher we've had." And I'm like, "Oh, my goodness." So, yes, you're right. It was very stressful for a lot of other people.
Wow.
But I like a good challenge.
You must. having been in this area of education for so long, you've seen a lot of changes.
Definitely.
So how did those early students access the curriculum when they didn't have all of the special things that we have today? What steps did they have to go through, and what hoops did you have to jump through to get those things for them?
Well, I'll tell you, as you all know, anybody in teaching, there's never enough time in the day. And especially back then, I mean, I would have to either record stories myself, which, of course, as a first-year teacher, you think you have to do everything yourself. And then all of a sudden, when you find yourself sick and and unable to perform because, you know, trying to keep up with everything, I started creating relationships with the high schools in the area. I started creating relationships with, like, child development classes, just different areas of how can I get support with other people who need to learn at least a portion of why these needs are occurring. And so, you know, it certainly wasn't, this stuff was not available. And I had to make do with other people helping me to come up with ways to create the stuff that's now available for us to order. So, yeah, I've done a lot of scanning of texts, which, if you've ever done that, it's the most incredibly time-consuming, inefficient process.
Yes. So you learned very early in your career how important networking is.
Yes. Learning how to build relationships and rely on other people and, you know, find those people who are going to help support what you want to do with kids who have such great needs.
Yeah. Wonderful. And that hasn't changed yet either, has
it? No, it hasn't, because there's always something else.
You still learn a lot from other people. When those digital textbooks began to become available, what kind of a change did that make for you and for your students?
Well, for me, it was another thing to add to my schedule, which at first, of course, is you have to find that balance again, and you have to find when you can order and how you can get it and understand the parameters of the new law and how that affects everything. But in terms of when you actually give that text to a kid and they can use technology to access that textbook, I mean, it just opens up incredible world for them. And I have not had any of the textbooks that I have downloaded given to a student where they just have not been, oh, this makes it so much easier. Either they understand it or they can get to it, they can turn their own pages, they can have it read, whereas before they had to have somebody sitting right next to them reading. Mm-hmm. And that in and of itself just raises their level of confidence, and they begin to understand that, hey, there is a way for me to be independent. And that's incredible for them.
Yes, independence is very important for all students, but especially students who need assistive technology, I think.
Yes.
Yeah. How about your students? We may have asked you how many you serve, but I'm not sure we did. How many students do you serve, and what are their grade levels and their ability levels? What type of children do you work with?
Well, we work with 3-year-olds through 22-year-olds. So we've got preschool classes, kindergarten all the way up through seniors as well as super seniors, because Indiana serves, you know, all the way through their 22nd year.
So children was not the right term. Student is, though. Yes.
Yes. Sometimes I call them kids, and I used to have a boss who told me they are not goats, Deb. But, you know, every so often it slips, and I say it. However, we have a great number of age groups. We also serve, you know, every possible disability. And, of course, disabilities are just a multiple varied amount of all the other things that are out there. We just choose to put them in a disability group so that we can provide services for them. So we provide services for all of those different areas. And as far as kids, students,
as the mother of a special ed adult, you know,
yes,
we still say kids sometimes.
It's a slip sometimes. We have a student body of over 10,000 students. So knowing that 1-2% of that 10,000, I would say, you know, it's probably pretty close to 1,500 students that I serve off and on. Now, obviously, they're not all on my caseload at the same time. Yeah. Mm-hmm. However, I can kind of tell you that I usually order, like at the beginning of school, I will order for anywhere from 15 to 25 kids as a DRM, and then throughout the year as we get move-ins, etc., it may be another student or two every other month or every month. It kind of depends, because we do have a lot of move-ins being, you know, right on the outskirts of Indianapolis. And on top of that, I know that I do about 60 to 65 AT evaluations a year. So those students are on my caseload for that year, and then, of course, doing some follow-up the following years. And you keep adding those 65 kids every year, and it gets pretty large.
That's yeah. making a change in a lot of lives.
That's true, and yes. I love that, definitely.
I noticed, you know, as the person who deals with orders, I see your orders firsthand, and I noticed that you order a lot of EPUB formats. Does that mean that a lot of your students now have access to an iPad or a similar device?
Yeah, we order EPUBs because our district is definitely going to that one-to-one iPad mm-hmm. model, mm-hmm. and we're kind of in the process of it. Mm-hmm. However, in choosing to go that direction, it sort of has pushed a little bit more of the iPad in some of our assistive technology areas because, you know, I can provide an iPad for a little bit less than even I can provide an Alpha Smart,
oh, yeah.
and it does so much more. So in knowing that our district was going that direction, yes, you're right. We do a lot of ordering of EPUBs because of the iPad movement that our district is taking.
And the iPads are small, they're portable, they're cool.
They have the cool factor, which is way different than assistive technology in the past, because there were kids who would say, you know, I don't want to carry that. That's too big, or they're going to make fun of me, or I don't want to be seen with. And you know what? Most kids are like, give me that iPad.
Yes.
And let
yes.
me have this big grin on my face while my friends don't yet have theirs.
Yes.
You know? That's very true.
That's nice to bring a level of excitement to their education.
Oh, my
experience.
Gosh. Because usually in special ed, we're so far behind.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And it's so cool to be kind of leading the way in that and having our students. In fact, I have given a talk to a couple of our kids who, you know, the teachers and the parents said, oh, my son won't. And I said, you know, let's do the evaluation. Let's see what happens. And in fact, I said, you know, you are going to be one of our pioneers in this area, because over the next 2 years, all of your buddies are going to have this in their hands. And they're going to look at you and say, wow, you've had that for a couple years. Can you show me? And man, his face just brightened and he goes, oh,
yes.
That's cool.
Yes.
And, you know, for our special ed kids who sometimes just lag behind and feel so incompetent and therefore have that lack of confidence, they're just like, oh, yeah, I'll do that. And that's a whole huge different ballgame.
Yes, it is. It's amazing how fast some special needs kids adjust to the technology. We have a handicapped child at home and recently bought her a cell phone. It's amazing to see her use it.
It is.
A child who can't read and write can find her way through the menu, and she knows what letter her favorite friend's name starts with, and she can dial. You know, it's amazing.
It is amazing. And, you know, we've got all of these digital natives, including all of our special ed kids.
Yes.
I mean, they are truly digital natives. And, man, as adults, we've got some catch-up to do, so that we can truly lead this generation on into the future that they need for themselves and their kids. You know?
That's our challenge, to get there ahead of them so that we can show them how.
Yeah, we don't run as fast as we used to.
No, we don't.
It's sometimes a little difficult.
I noticed that some of your orders are also for NIMAS files. which is a format that works on a PC primarily with Read Out Loud. So that's telling me some of your students are still working with PCs. And is that still working well for them?
Yeah, it is. Of course, they are saying, okay, when we get our iPads, what does that mean for us? So they're looking forward to, you know, as we do this move. But the Read Out Loud works great. It, you know, we can install it at home on their home computer, in the classroom, and they have access to that textbook whether they're at home or school, even though they don't have an iPad. So that's nice.
That's true. Mm-hmm. Good. And there's a third type of file that I've noticed that you have used in your orders, and that's the classic audio formats for Learning Ally. And we're just curious as to how that works for your students. I know the human voice recordings are so very nice. So how has that worked for your students?
Well, you know, one of the things that some students do complain about is that computerized robotic voice. Mm-hmm. And they just don't deal with it as well. Not every kid, but, you mm-hmm. know, some students are just like, you know, I don't quite understand as well when they're reading with that kind of voice. And especially this year, since we've added the Learning Ally app, and just being able to have that true continuity of being able to get the files and have them work on the iPads or even with the Read Here software, it gives us a whole different way of providing that same textbook in a way that works for the comprehension of those students who don't like that computerized voice.
Yeah, that's the beauty of the Learning Ally files, the real human voice.
Exactly.
And I don't think any of the files that you have ordered have been available in this format, but at this point, Learning Ally now has a human voice recording with text available on the screen and graphics available on the screen. Now, they have a huge inventory of books in their repository, and it's not going to be a fast process for them to change them over. Amelia Bedelia is one book that I have downloaded as a test product, has the graphics, highlights the text, has the human voice recording, and I would imagine that your students will be delighted with that when more of that is available.
That's going to be another incredible step, definitely.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Good. I'm glad to see the technology and the human touch coming together like that.
Definitely, because computers are wonderful, and back in the day, you know, we always wondered what kind of robots would be taking over things. However, as I've told my students who use, like, Dragon or Siri on their iPads, you have to remember that you're simply talking to a computer or a robot. You're not talking to a human being who has the ability to get that information in their heads and then process it. So you've got to slow down. And so, you know, the same is true when a computer is reading to us. Sometimes it's not exactly the way we want to hear it.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So, yeah,
yes.
I am excited about all the ways that technology is changing for our students.
We are, too. We see it coming down the pike, and we're all just so excited about it. One other thing that I wanted to talk about is we talked on the phone one time about whether you could order multiple formats of the same file. And I know with the Braille and the large print, people are limited to select a format because those processes are very, very expensive. The books are expensive to create, and they're fairly fragile. But with the digital files, you are free to order as many formats as you want. So if you have a student who is new to the system and doesn't really know, am I going to want an IMIS file? Am I going to want an EPUB? Would I work better with a PDF? Is there even an HTML available? You can order any and all of those for the same student. And is that going to be a benefit for you?
Well, I'll tell you, I called you on that specific student because I mm-hmm. was unsure. I mean, when you complete the NIMAS paperwork, you know, it says choose a format. And mm-hmm. so in just the way that it's worded, I was thinking, oh, dear, you know, I think I've chosen the wrong format for this student. Mm-hmm. I don't know whether I can order a different one. And so you had clarified that for me. Mm-hmm. So I'm telling all DRMs out there, if you find out that you've ordered the wrong one, it's awesome to be able to order another format, give it a try, because, yeah, we get it in, we start using it with our student, and oh, man, it's just not working the way we wanted it to. Mm-hmm. We've got other options that we can still go for. That's incredible for our students as well as, you know, the staff who are trying to support them in their classrooms.
Good, and we appreciate your getting the word out, and we're trying to get more education on that, too, because I think other people had the same question. And
well, you know, some of us are rule followers, especially us firstborn, so sometimes you have to explain to us that the walls are not quite as small as we thought they were.
Well, good. We'll do that whenever we can. On a scale of 1 to 10, as a DRM, how would you rate using digital textbooks? With 10 being the best, you know, and 1 being not good, where do you think it falls?
Well, for students, definitely a 10. I mean, they have needed them for so many years, and the access has just not been there. Mm-hmm. As a DRM, knowing what it does for my students, it's definitely a 10. As a DRM, you know, learning the system and that kind of thing, I think it's built its way up. I mean, mm-hmm. it's a learning process, and we learn by our mistakes and the things that we've had to order and, oops, had to order again or, you know, downloaded and tried to convert and it didn't quite work. But over the last 2 years, let's put it this way, not that I ever didn't want to talk to you, but at first it was just at that point of a little bit of confusion and a little bit of frustration and time consuming, but it's no longer there. And, you know, I mean, we've built a relationship, but also the process has definitely become much smoother and it's very convenient. And you guys are just so easy to work with.
Well, good. Thank you. We feel the same way about you.
Thank you.
And we are also excited that the process has become easier. This is our second anniversary of the new system that we installed for the ICAM web ordering system. And it's so much more intuitive than the one before.
Yes, it is.
You can see very clearly what we have, and you have a chance, if we don't have it, to put in a special request and have a lot of it taken care of automatically. You know, in most cases, if you order a file and it's in our repository, you're going to have it within the hour.
That's very true. And with the new system, it's made it so much easier. You know, you have to learn a few tricks. Instead of only going by the ISBN, you know, put a couple words in or the author's name or, you know, don't give up and just put one ISBN and say, oh, it's not there. But in the old system, you know, I just felt like, okay, they have nothing I need because nothing pops up, you know?
Yes.
And so, yes, you're right. But don't give up if you've put something in and you haven't found something.
Yes.
It's way easier to find things, and you just have to be a little perseverant in your seeking.
Yes, and never be opposed to placing a special order, because if you can't find it, we'll do everything we can to find it. And if it's not from a source that we can get for you directly, we'll at least tell you who you can go to get it.
That's a really good point, because at first there were times when you would say, well, we don't have it, it's not available, and I'm like, oh, what does that mean? You know,
yes.
But it was wonderful for you to, you know, you just gave me a call and you said, hey, Deb, let's talk about this book that you're needing, and I appreciated so much for you kind of doing some of the legwork. When I'm running between buildings doing all the other parts of my job, and you said, well, here's what you need to do, and here's a website where you can complete a form, and I was like, oh, wow, what a relief.
Yes.
That was incredible.
Yes. Well, and part of what's made that possible for us is that so much of the system is automated now that we have time to go out there and look for things that we didn't have time to do before. So it's given us the freedom to help better.
Well, I certainly appreciate it. And I'm sure if any of the other DRMs have kind of run into that situation, please ask for your help, you know, for the ICAM's help in that, because you guys have been wonderful in doing that for me.
Well, good. That's what we're there for. We want to come to work and do that every day. Learning curves are there with every technology, and you have been through the change from the old system to the new system. How does the training work for you? Have you been able to find the training that you need when you needed it, and it sounds like you're receiving the support you need. but has the training been adequate? It's very short because the system's now so much more intuitive.
That's true, but I really think just knowing that I can call you guys and say, okay, now what I saw was this, and this is the way I took it, is that correct or not? And having you explain it a little more, or saying, hey, Deb, log on to this and let's look at it together. Mm-hmm. So please don't be afraid to ask questions if you're a DRM.
Yes, very good, very good. Probably my final question here. We have our little stories about the starfish here. I think everybody in this area of education is familiar with the starfish stories, where you save people one at a time. You know,
right?
Do you have any starfish stories? We'd love to hear.
Oh gosh, I've got several starfish stories, but I think that there's two or three of them that were kind of the same way. And they were elementary kids who were just struggling with the reading. And social studies and science were their absolute hated subjects because they knew they couldn't read. And they were getting to the age where having somebody sitting next to them all the time was just not looked highly upon with their peers, you know? And so they were getting really pretty bad attitudes about having that support, although they needed it. And they were three kids from totally different elementary schools, but they all three responded the same way. And when I opened that textbook and said, now here's where your textbook is, and they were like, right here on this, and it reads to me too. And they they looked at the instructional assistant as I was doing the training, and they go, ha, I don't need you right next to me anymore. And the instructional assistant was like, gave him a thumbs up and said, that's okay with me, you know.
Awesome.
But all three of them just kind of responded in that same way, with that light in their eyes again and a smile on their face. And the resource teacher of one of them said, you know, I have not seen since that child walked into our building his eyes light up like that and a smile on his face. So it was exciting for everybody who was sitting at the table.
That's amazing.
It is.
That's just amazing. Well, I tell you what, I know the Tech Expo is out there waiting for you, and we so appreciate your taking time away from it to be with us. Just want to let you know, you've been a wonderful partner with the ICAM in providing ever better learning experiences for our children. We want to commend you for your dedication and your excellent work in the field.
Thank you.
And thank you for the difference you've made for these students.
Well, I am so glad to know that you guys are out there to help us and to partner with us. We could not do it without you as well, that's for sure. And our students, thank you.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure, Deb.
Thank you. My pleasure, too.